Sunday, July the 6th.
Welcome to this Burlington Audio Podcast. We hope you will be encouraged and inspired in your faith as you listen to this message. We'd love to hear what you think. Please be in touch with us through the website. More information and many more podcasts are all at burlingtonbaptist.org.uk. Thanks for listening.
Good morning. If you're thinking you'd rather watch VeggieTales, tough luck, me too. here I am, back here again. I've made a couple of life changes recently, the main one being that I have cut down on my lying in the garden counting my kids' time, and I've got one of those job thingies that you've all got. I thought the time was right. It says here, pause for applause, so... Some of you might remember 2 years ago when I stopped my role here as the youth worker, God spoke into my sadness with the words, "There is something more." And at the time that he spoke, I can remember thinking, well, that's super nice, God, but I'm really tired. So if we could have a little time. And now, 2 years later, I'm still really tired. But God has given me something more. So I now work for Home for Good Suffolk, which is a charity which provides care and support for care experienced children, adopted children, foster children, children living with family members. And it's a good fit for me. I think it connects what I learned as a youth worker and what I've learned as a foster and adopted parent. So long story short, that was an easy yes. It was a yes, please, Lord. And I was reading this passage thinking, what if every question that God asked for us could be an easy yes? Wouldn't that be lovely? Wouldn't it be great if they were all easy yeses? Wouldn't it be great if we could respond, yes, here I am, Lord, to everything God asks of us? So that's what I want to talk about today, using the story of Abraham that we just heard. We heard that God tested Abraham. He said to him, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you. So Abraham was in the habit of hearing God, of listening to God and hearing him. He recognized his voice because he knew it. In John 10:27, we hear, my sheep will listen to my voice, I know them, and they'll follow me. And this is really important, I think, to follow God, we must know his voice. It's the reason why building relationships and community is a priority for us at Home for Good, because we are all unlikely to take advice from people we don't know and trust, particularly when it comes to our precious family. So Abraham must have known and trusted God. And God was telling him something he really didn't want to hear. But Abraham was so tuned into God, he accepted what he had heard and he set straight off to do it. He didn't doubt what he should do. So this leads us straight into challenge number one. When God speaks to us, are we listening? Do we always respond with, here I am, Lord? Do we have good spiritual hearing? Life is super busy day to day, and in between kids, work, TV, friends, and even church, can God get a word in edgeways? When life is crammed full, it can dull our senses towards God. And we all plan to have quiet times later or save praying until we're in bed. But how effective is that, honestly? I think we can all agree that falling asleep halfway through a prayer doesn't really constitute quality time. And I'm asking this not to make you feel bad, because that's something I've really struggled with over periods when my routine has been turned upside down. So I ask myself, how would I respond? Would my response have been, yes, Lord, here I am? Or actually, if you could pop that on the end of my to-do list, I might get to it within the month. Any deep two-way relationship needs to be worked at. In a marriage, each individual needs to make the time and effort, and we all know how quickly it can go downhill if we don't do that. The same is true with a relationship with God. We need to practice and exercise our senses so that he can communicate with us on a deeper level. Abraham did this by praying and worshiping daily so that he was able to hear God and know when he spoke. Similarly, being able to listen and hear God is vital if we're going to successfully teach others about him. My younger daughter, Coley, who was playing the keys earlier, was almost completely deaf until she was 3 years old. She underwent some operations and regained most of her hearing. Enough to play any instrument she wants to, not enough to hear when I ask her to bring the glasses down from her bedroom. The crazy thing is, she was about 2.5 before we even realised that she couldn't hear, because she lip-read really well, and she gave the impression of understanding what we were saying. So it was only as she got older and her speech remained unclear that we began to realise that she had a problem. If you can't hear well, you can't speak clearly. And the same is true spiritually. We can't pass on God's message to others if we're not listening to it ourselves. There is a danger in becoming lazy in our relationship with God. The Bible tells us that early the next morning, Abraham got up and he loaded his donkey. Notice the prompt obedience here. It doesn't say in any version that Abraham thought he would do that at some point in the summer. Abraham heard God and he got on with obeying him. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. 3 days traveling is long. There's a lot of inconvenience for Abraham, but he didn't try to excuse himself because of distance or time away from work. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall when he told his wife Sarah about that trip. I can only imagine how the conversation would have gone. Hi, darling. I'm just popping out for a boys' trip with Isaac, your only son, who you've waited your whole life for. And she might have been pleased with the idea of time to herself, a glass of wine and a good book. Oh, lovely. Where are you going? Not sure exactly. Okay, when will you be back? Well, I don't really know. Well, what are you going to do with Isaac when you get there? So I'm thinking that's why he left early in the morning, perhaps while she was in the shower. Abraham said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." This is important point number 2. Sometimes in order to move forward with our faith, we must leave people behind. They may be holding us back in our walk with Jesus. Their presence may prevent us from hearing God and the next thing he has to say to us. So that requires some hard decisions sometimes. We have to be honest with ourselves about who is holding us back and ask God for guidance about that. Often, though, as is the case here, we can come back for them when the time is right. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and he placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. The two of them went on together. Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand, took his knife to slay his son. You'll notice in all that time, God has not really spoken to Abraham since his initial instruction. And I think this is because God's guidance is similar to a satellite navigation system. If any of you know Mark and his love of the gadget, you will know we were one of the first people ever to get one of these little marriage savers. And it did stop a lot of fights in the car. Nowadays, Mark can drive calmly, and he can blame Google Maps for everything that goes wrong, be it a tractor or, horror of horror, those roadworks where they put the cones down and don't do anything else. That's all Google Maps' fault now. SatNav tells us where to go. It directs us in the most effective way to get somewhere. And if we go wrong, it will change the route and take us on the new, most direct way. And it's a bit of a silly analogy, and it's overused, I think, but it's helpful here. God tells us which way to turn, and he will continue to guide us and direct us back onto the correct route, even if we've wandered off-piste. The journey is considerably less stressful if we settle in and trust him. And it's hard sometimes to keep confidence during long periods of silence. We have to look out for encouragements along the way. Just as on the road. We keep glancing at the map for reassurance that we're still heading in the right direction. We've all heard the strange story about the man who's been guided off the cliff by sat-nav. And so we check where we're going by looking ahead and thinking back to previous journeys to make sure we're on the right track. And we need to do this with God too, through praying, reading the Bible, and increasing our involvement with Christian communities, small groups, and church life, so we experience God's work all around us. In this way, we keep our senses alert so we don't miss it when he speaks. God tells Abraham to go to the place I will show you. In other words, we have to set out on the journey, and then he will tell us the next step. And of course, we need to have faith and trust in God in order to do that first bit of the journey and progress to the second. And God has us all on a journey, and he's directing us where he wants us to be. I'm on that journey, and I'm excited about where he's taking me. I'm following the sat-nav as best I can, trying to hear the directions over the general noise of life. And I'm fairly confident I haven't taken the most direct route. I seem to have gone past the picnic site of having a baby quite a lot of times. And then I got lost in the woods of end of an era when I stopped my beloved youth work. Each time, God has rerouted me. I don't know where I'm going. I only know I'm not there yet. And God will show me the way only if I listen and obey him. When I was 18 years old and I left school, do you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to be a social worker and work with teenagers. But I didn't have the confidence, and I let people talk me out of it. And I went off into the world, and I trained as a nurse, and I married Mark, and I had lots of kids, and I found God and understood what it meant to be his daughter. And now, a mere 5 or 6 years later, here I am, back doing social work and working with teenagers. And it's been quite a detour, but at some point I got on the road. And the clever thing about God is that he takes all those things that we experience, both when we are on track and off track, and he uses them to grow us, change us, and develop us for his glory. In this Bible passage, it's not just Abraham's obedience that is being tested. Isaac is not a young child at this point. Abraham is an old man. He could not have physically forced Isaac onto the altar. Isaac must have climbed there out of respect for his dad and his father. So we are forced to conclude that Isaac's faith is as strong as Abraham's. By listening to God and by obeying him, we have the added bonus of raising faithful and obedient kids. So, here we are in the story. It's been a long, difficult journey. Isaac is on the altar. Abraham has raised his knife, and suddenly the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham, make a U-turn." "Here I am," Abraham replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything for him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." God has changed his instructions. Abraham is listening, and he's heard the new instructions. Phew. This is important point number 3. We mustn't just walk in what God used to say. Religious practices and traditions are important, but we must stay alert for new directions. Otherwise, we can get things very wrong. It may be comfortable to keep doing what we've always done, but it isn't enough. God has new instructions for us in each season of our life. With him, we keep moving forward. Imagine what is at stake. We could kill our sons if we haven't heard the next direction. We must do as God is telling us to do now, not what he told us to do in the past. Change, move forward, step out in faith. What is he telling you to do? Do it. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket, he saw a ram caught by his horns. He went over, took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. God provided the ram only at the exact moment that Abraham needed it, not in advance. He provides for us at the time of our need. If we go to the place where God wants us to go, he will give us the blessings we need when we get there. And the ram was caught in the thicket waiting for Abraham for when he needed it. Our blessings are waiting for us when we get to the place where we need them. The ram wasn't getting away, and nor are our blessings, whatever they may be. They may be courage, strength, our family. Whatever he has marked out to be ours, he will save them for us till we get to the place where he wants us to have them. And even if we get lost along the way, he will give us what we need if we put our trust in him. The Lord will provide. If we can remember this, it makes it much easier to hear God. Sometimes we are so caught up in getting what we think is necessary, we forget that we already have what we need in God. When we get caught in the cycle of trying to manage alone, we forget to worship and thank God, and we may stop listening to him. And this is the danger, because we'll miss his next direction and be off route again. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 in the Message tells us, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try and figure everything out on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He is the one who will keep you on track. Ultimately, God provided a sacrifice for us all in Jesus. Like Abraham, he was prepared to sacrifice his only son, whom he loved. The only difference, of course, is that what Abraham was prepared to do obediently, God did willingly for the love of us. And in the past, I've always been a bit uncomfortable with this passage. I've always followed it with a plea of protection for my own children and the children here in church. However, I come to understand when I look at the passage that Isaac is never in danger from God's point of view. Abraham's relationship with God was one of trust and faith. Abraham, a man unable to have children, had already been blessed with Isaac at a very late age. He knew miracles happened. Isaac was one. And here in this church, we know miracles happen. We have examples of them. And when we can cling to those miracles, we can trust God for the next one. So, same name, different child. 6.5 years ago, I can remember praying for meeting out there in the dark and the cold, praying for Isaac when he was being blue lighted to Adam Brooks. And the nurse in me, I can remember thinking, this is not looking good. This is not likely. And the mum in me was thinking, this is heartbreaking. And 2 days later, the Christian in me was thinking, God is so good. And within a month and a half, he was out of hospital. And now, not today, but now we see him running around, charging around so loud. God does miracles. And we remember those. It's easier to trust him for the next one. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. In other words, God had already promised Abraham future generations through Isaac. He believed that God would not allow Isaac's life to be over because that promise had not been fulfilled. Faith is not about guessing what God wants us to do. Faith is about understanding the very nature of God. God had kept his promises to Abraham. Abraham understood that God always did what was for the best. And therefore, he was in that position to be so bold in his faith. And the more we listen to God, the more we read and understand about God, the more we can be bold in our faith. When we follow God, it has a positive impact on everyone we love, even those not yet born. God promises that Abraham's children and his children's children, and even beyond that, will benefit because Abraham chose to obey God. A lot of what we try to achieve at Home for Good is empowering people to care for care-experienced children in order to break the cycle of pain that those children are going through. And only by experiencing a loving home can a child grow up and create a loving home. And this is what this passage means when it talks about blessing children and children's children. And sometimes we have to do something hard to bless the generations that follow. Abraham didn't take the easy option in this story. He didn't delay. He certainly didn't allow himself to be put off because of what others thought of him. He continued his journey with God, and this was a challenging leg of the journey, but he kept his faith and he kept listening to God, who, as is his way, showed mercy. Abraham had faith in God to know what is best for him. The consequences of his actions would have been pretty awful if God had not come through, but of course he did. So there are several challenges that we can take from this passage. Number one, are we listening to God? Really listening? Not just trying to give the impression that we can hear by copying others. Number two, when we do hear something from God, do we get straight to it? Will we wake up tomorrow morning and act? Number three, are we listening to the next direction? Or are we simply repeating what we've always done? Number four, are we wasting time and energy worrying about what we haven't got instead of glorifying God for what we have? And number five, are we prepared to step out of our comfort zones in order to further our relationship with God? That's the challenge over the summer. Take the time to ask God where he's directing us. Ask him to be clear and direct. Ask him to confirm anything that we may think may be from him, and then step out. Take the first step and he will give you the next direction. He will direct you when you are ready, when you can cope with what he is asking. So what are you doing to get ready? Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you love us and that you guide us. Thank you that your word is solid and we can trust in you. We love that you challenge us, Lord, and we are ready to hear your next direction and to act upon it. We want to obey you, Lord. We trust in you and we want to follow your directions. We trust you, Father, to guide us safely home to you. Amen.